John, having gone through the Harbaugh last Thanksgiving with your brother Jim, will that help a little bit dealing with all of the stuff that will deal with, we'll focus on you and Jim, what you want to focus on your team?
I hope so. I just want everybody to know that was a four-day deal, and every story has been told. We're not that interesting. There's nothing more to learn. You know, the tape across the middle of the room story, okay? You got it, you know? It's okay. You know, it was just like any other, you know, family, really. And to me, the focus, I really hope the focus is not so much on that. You know, I mean, we get it. It's really cool, and it's exciting and all that. But it's really about the team. It's about the players. It's about the guys that you're talking about. It's about the players. It's the guys out there on the field, you know, who are actually in the arena, whose face is marred with dust and sweat and blood, you know? Remember that one? That's what it's about. It's about those guys, you know, and the more we focus on those guys, I think the better it is for everybody.
John, it's also about the coaches, too. Your defensive coordinator has ushered in a remarkable turnaround in this defense. If you could talk about, I mean, they shut out a team like the Patriots for the second half.
You're right. Just a tremendous accomplishment by our defense, and you're talking about Dean Pease, and of course, Dean wouldn't want that mentioned without the rest of the coaches on the defensive side. I think those guys have just done a tremendous job all year, along with all of our coaches. But we have the best staff in the National Football League. You know, I've said that many times. I believe it wholeheartedly. The great coaches are great people. They're great teachers. And they've done a great job. And they've done a great job of teaching and developing fundamental football, especially on, you know, the side of the ball you're talking about. You know, we weren't a very fundamentally sound defense early on, and that's why we had struggles. And, you know, that doesn't happen overnight. And we were moving guys in and out. We had injuries. And I think he's done a great job of making game plan choices and decisions that have been really effective strategically against the people we played. You saw it play out last night. And more just fundamentally simple stuff. Kerry Williams mentioned that it was really a pretty straightforward game plan, and it was. And the guys executed it really well. And to me, that's what a great coach, a great teacher does. Well, I mean, I saw the same thing you saw. I saw the same thing everybody saw, so that would be in the league's hands. You know, it's pretty straightforward what happened, so I'll leave it up to you guys to make those evaluations and for the league to make that evaluation.
What kind of different challenge is it when you get into the – I mean, you haven't done it at the head coach, but when you get into that week next week and the players have all their families and hotel rooms, I mean, it's a totally different atmosphere than you prepare for. Can you still have the same preparation for the game that you have – had last week?
That's a great point. And it kind of goes to the whole thing of what Joe's talking about. You know, the preparation is a little bit different. But first of all, I want to express appreciation for your powers of prediction. You and Mike Preston, well done. Well done. That's stuff that we have to get done quickly this week. You know, we have our organization did a great job of organizing that for everybody. And that was streamlined today. So the guys have now today, tomorrow, and Wednesday to get that all straightened out. And by Wednesday, we really want to have it all done as much as possible and in the hands of their wives so they don't have to think about it. And then they can go to work and think about football as we prepare this week. And then especially when we get out there, we don't want to have to deal with too many of those logistical things. But Bob Eller, our whole organization, will do a great job of being there for the guys with whatever needs they have. And guys just have to realize that it's limited. I mean, there are limited resources, and we have to share it amongst a lot of people. So I think our guys get that too.
John, you've always voiced your belief in Joe. But in the last, say, month, what have you seen that you can point to as maybe difference, growth, advancement for Joe?
I couldn't point to anything different than what you see. You know, and what you see is you know, some good output, obviously, in terms of production. And that's really good to see. But Joe's had that before. To string it together like he's done back to back to back to back in the most critical time of the year is the great thing about it. And I really believe that, you know, we saw that coming, you know, as a football staff and as an organization and as players. You know, it's just the way he's been practicing, you know, and he's come a long way, but he's come the way you would expect any quarterback to develop. It's in his fifth year. And to see it happen like this is something that we kind of plan for, but it's also, you know, it's a great thing to see.
John, you got down to the last 2 minutes. It looked like everybody on this side of the field, on our side, on the Ravens side, was taking off their helmets. They knew pretty much the game was winding down. The 12th men started coming down, the fans and cheering and yelling the chant. Can you take us through that last 2 minutes with them fans?
Boy, thanks for pointing that out. You know, I mean, before the interception, you know, I was pretty much, you know, we had a couple guys that were getting a little giddy over there, you know, and I just had to remind them, it's Tom Brady, you know, and they got Wes Welker, and they're two scores away. So let's make sure we play some defense. And our defensive guys didn't, and they kept playing. And I thought they did a great job. So we had our full attention on the Patriots at that time. Then when we got the interception, you know, obviously it was over. But to feel the fans come down, I mean, I know one thing. At the end of the game, we might have had, 70,000? We might have had 1/8 of the crowd, which is really a high number for a visiting AFC championship game. That speaks so much about our fans. For all those people to make that trip up there, you know, at this time of year, to support their Ravens is just, it's not surprising because we saw it out in Denver. You know, we've seen it in San Diego. We've seen it everywhere. But it's pretty impressive, you know. And we heard the O chant like Joe talked about last night. And you could see them pregame. They were ringing the whole stadium pregame. We came out, you know, and you saw the black and purple jerseys. But then at the end of the game, I mean, it was up. It was stacked up 50 feet or so, as many rows up that the Ravens fans, and they were doing the chant, as you said, the Ravens chant. And we ran all the way around to the side by the tunnel and everything like that. There were a lot more Ravens fans there at that time than there were Patriots fans. And that's pretty cool. You know, that's something that really speaks about, you know, our people. So, you know, congratulations to our fans. I heard that Baltimore went crazy last night. Is that right? And it was a good crazy. Celebration crazy, right? It was positive. It was upbeat. That's something that means a lot.
John, I saw something last night. They'd researched it, and this brother against brother in a championship game has never happened in a major professional sports league before. So this is history. And talk about the historical part of this, if you would.
Well, I did. I can't say that I'm not a historian. I'm not a real historian, but I like reading a lot of history, you know. So I would like to use that standard line that I try to give you guys. But I guess it's pretty neat, you know. It's something that I mean, is it really going to be written about? It's not exactly like, you know, Churchill and Roosevelt or anything. I mean, it's pretty cool. It's as far as it goes.
Hey, John, sports is a lot about comebacks, overcoming adversity. This is the first Super Bowl in New Orleans since Katrina. Could you speak to what that community, what their comeback has symbolized, and is that important to you and the players?
Well, it is. We got two guys right there, you know, Jacoby Jones and Ed Reed from right down there in New Orleans, and they've been affected by that. We had a chance to spend some time down there with Ed Reed's family a couple of years ago in a more tragic type circumstance, and have gotten to know a lot of Ed's family and friends down there, and can't wait to see Jacoby's mom, you know, and hang out with her a little bit. That'll be fun. But to me, that's what America's about. You know, that's the human spirit. You know. Everybody coming together and rebuilding and making it a better place. Same thing happening up in the Northeast, in the New York, New Jersey area. So that's what we're all about.
John, you already praised Jim as a coach, but I mean, if you had to describe to someone who doesn't know him what makes him so good at what he does, mm-hmm. what would you say?
Well, I mean, he's incredibly. Everybody talks about how competitive he is. He's an incredibly competitive person. I mean, he will fight you for anything. You know, whether it was a game of cards playing growing up or whatever. I mean, he was going to try to find a way to win no matter what. And that's something that you know. That's why I think that's what made him a great player. It's what made him a good student in college. It's what makes him the man he is. You know, he's also really talented. He was the guy. You know, that when the hockey took the puck right down the middle of the rink and everybody bounced off him, he scored goals. You know, he got every rebound and scored every point. You know, the gym teacher said in fourth grade he was too competitive. He needed to ease off a little bit. My dad said, no, he doesn't need to ease off. You know, that's what he needs to do. He needs to compete, you know. And but he's also, the thing that people don't see is how warm a heart he's got and his sense of humor and how much fun he has. And maybe it's in the media. I mean, I tell you, I watch his media things, and I just laugh, you know, because some people take him seriously. You know, they actually think that he's some of that stuff is serious, you know, and he's having fun, you know, and he's just being himself. He's the same guy. What you see is what you get. You know, that's who he is. And whether it's on the sideline or wherever, you know, he's real, you know, and that's what I love about him.